Oh, Kira, congratulations. Look at her tiny fingers. She's beautiful, just like her mommy.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got a name yet?
Well, we're thinking
she's going to call her Brooklyn. Brooklyn, Massachusetts, Phoenix, Arizona.
Your vote is your voice. So if you don't speak up, someone else is deciding for you.
Baltimore, Kentucky, Murphy O'Neill.
Who is that?
Hospital porter. Just back from his American road trip.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Oh, Brookie Massachusetts, come to Auntie Hannah.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Just goes out, kills, does what he's told, and everyone's afraid of him.
Today on the Indo Daily, swallowing SIM cards and thrashing prison cells, the story of Fat Freddy Thompson. Time is running out for gangster Fat Freddy Thompson as he remains locked up on the Kinahan wing at Portlaoise Prison, and his fellow inmates are not happy. Thompson, who's serving a life sentence for the murder of Doughy Douglas, set off a detector alarm when he was leaving the exercise yard of the prison. He blamed other inmates for being caught with a mobile phone on him, smashing it into pieces and swallowing the SIM card. Searches by wardens uncovered a hidden mobile phone in the back of his cell TV. This led to a full search of his landing and all televisions being taken away from all inmates. Nobody was impressed. I'm Ellen Coyne, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Paul Williams, special correspondent at the Irish Independent, to look at the life and crimes of the notorious mobster Fat Freddy Thompson.
He's one of the country's most notorious gangsters, a member of the country's most dangerous criminal gang, and he has been involved in two murderous feuds over the past 20 years in which more than 30 people have lost their lives.
So Freddy Thompson is back in one of his favourite places, which is in the headlines. Paul, can you take us through some of his most recent antics in prison?
Well, the latest we heard from Freddy Thompson is he's, as you know, as everyone knows, he's serving life in prison for murder as part of the Kinahan Hutch feud. He's been throwing his weight around quite a bit in prison for the past number of years since he was convicted. But the latest incident was that he was basically out in the exercise yard down in Midlands Prison with his cousin Liam Branigan, and he was detected in possession of a mobile phone. He smashed it up, he swallowed the SIM card, and then as a result of that, he became very unpopular because all their TVs were removed from cells and there was a big crackdown. A lot of phones were found as a result of that, which of course is their main link to the outside world. And last month, three, 4 weeks ago, his mother died and he smashed up his cell when he heard about his poor mammy dying, and he eventually was brought out to the funeral home because he was considered such a high security risk. And before that, he was getting himself involved, which is typical manipulative sort of creature that he is. He started getting himself involved in rows inside in the prison service or the prison system because he was telling one prison officer that other prison officers were plotting and behind his back, and he was the good angel, so to speak, in this.
That complaint was investigated by an external investigator called John Nocton. A number of prison officers and prisoners, including Freddy Thompson, a convicted murderer, were interviewed. Other prisoners confirmed what Thompson had alleged. They said many prisoners can't handle the situation and will turn to violence.
Let's put our cards on the table. We talk about a lot of criminals on this podcast, and Fat Freddy Thompson is down there in the very darker recesses of the depths of badness. I think the fact that he is in prison serving a life sentence, his sentence should be a life sentence for the rest of his life, because this guy is horrible monster.
And even in prison, like, he's clearly still some sort of chaos agent. He seems to be almost like at anarchist level. And I know that he's been described before as having an ego and almost reveling in some of the coverage of him or the persona that's attributed to him. Do you think when he's doing all these things, when he's causing chaos with the prison officers, when he's making himself unpopular with cellmates, is he doing that for attention? Is he looking for notice?
Which is a classic narcissist, you know, and these are all the characteristics of a narcissist. All he knows about is causing mayhem and intimidation. I followed him around the place years ago when he was a kid, when he was becoming a big player, when he was about 18, 19, 20. I remember the guards telling us when I was in the Sunday World at the time, take a photograph of this guy in, say, around 2000. And it was 23 years ago. And he was only 20 at the time. And said, look at this guy. This guy is going, this is a serious, this guy is the new breed. He's going to cause awful mayhem. And at that stage, he was causing mayhem. He's got these eyes. You look at his eyes and they're completely dead. There's nothing going on in there. He's like a great white shark almost, you know. Everywhere he goes, he intimidates and threatens. And he was a classic lieutenant for the Kinahan organisation. Just goes out, kills, does what he's told, and everyone's afraid of him.
And you were mentioning there, like, his childhood and his upbringing. Sometimes when you're talking about gangsters, you're talking about people who fell into crime because of their upbringing or socioeconomic factors. The way you're talking about Thompson, it sounds like someone who actively pursued a life in crime.
Oh, there is no socioeconomic explanation for the likes of Freddie Thompson. And I suppose we should tell our listeners what he got up to just in case they don't know. But he is a natural born killer. He was born bad. And he will always will be bad. But you can't put him into the category where you try and put cotton wool around him and sociologically explain away why he is what he is. Society isn't blamed for this kid.
And take us through that criminal career, kind of starting from the start, when he first came to the attention of the authorities and then, I suppose, more broadly to the rest of the Irish public.
Well, his career star, he's born in 1980. He's from the Maryland area of the South Inner City, but he's very closely associated, obviously, with Crumlin and Drimna because his family, he's a first cousin of the Byrne family, Liam Byrne and David Byrne, his cousin and best friend who was murdered in the Regency. So he starts popping up on the radar as per the life stories of all these criminals. Around 15, 16 years of age, he's getting into trouble. At that stage, he was caught for public order and then there was assaults and then it gets gradually, you see the prison, that the criminal record getting gradually more serious. Like, you know, then his assault on somebody with a screwdriver.
He was convicted again of public order and his criminal career seemed to progress from then on in, where he then was prosecuted for an assault in the year 2000, where he stabbed a man with a screwdriver for no apparent reason. And from then on, it was a constant battle between him and the Gardaí.
I suppose the best way to describe him is that he was part of this new generation of reckless and utterly volatile and ruthless and very, very violent young class of criminal, a breed of criminal that started emerging in the late 90s. This was after the murder of Veronica Gearn and peace came and we'd Gilligan out of the way and all these guys. But then this new generation, they popped up all over the place. He was just one of them. And they embraced the drug trade. Because drugs became the stock and trade of every criminal organisation. And young men particularly were big into this because the Celtic Tiger had arrived and everybody was snorting coke to beat the band, as they are even more so now. And so they became quite a successful drug gang. They were dealing with the Byrnes. They were also dealing with the Kinahans. Daniel Kinahan, he was very close with all of them. This is the start of it all. And Daniel Kinahan's dad, Christy, was really pushing and reorganising himself. He'd been in prison for a while and he was starting to really, on the ascent, to become one of the biggest drug traffickers in the world. Another thing that happens inevitably is that these criminals, who are all very close, you know, it's love-hate. One day they love each other, the next day they hate each other. And there was a drug bust and there was a row amongst the members of this gang. They were all from the Crumlin and Drimna area. It was in a hotel down on Pier Street in around 2000. And this led to a row between them because one group, Freddie Thompson and his mate Brian Gavin, they were blaming the other members of the gang, like Brian Rattigan, for squealing. And somebody's talking to the guards. And remember, these are volatile. There's no reasoning with these guys. They're not Jerry Hutchins or Christy Kinahan. This ultimately led to Brian Rattigan stabbing to death Brian Gavin in a abracadabra shop beside Crumlin Shopping Centre in 2000, 2001. And that led to the genesis of what we call, and it's still remembered as, the Crumlin and Drimna feud. Now, the Crumlin and Drimna feud claimed between 14 and 16 lives over the period of, I suppose, the most intense period of six, seven years. And Freddie Thompson led the charge on that. And he was closely associated with several murders. So this is the first gang war he's associated with. And I'll just give you an example of, you know, of the level of malevolence and the type of murder these guys were involved in. In November 2005, two men, Darren Gagan and Gavin Byrne, they were both members of Fat Freddy's gang. They were shot dead sitting in a car in Fairhouse. It was, I think it was a Sunday night. It was rumoured at the time that Freddy had decided these two guys, he didn't trust them anymore. There was something going on. Because remember, they're all tired. They're all ripping each other off. They're all stabbing each other in the back. So he got rid of them. And Freddy would have no problem getting rid of anybody unless they were blood. And then the next day, Noel Roach, who was on the opposite side of this feud, he was shot dead over on the north side. So it was three murders in the space of less than about 24 hours. Three of them all associated directly to Fat Freddy. Now, in the Noel Roach murder, the prime suspect in that was Paddy Doyle. Now, Paddy Doyle was a notorious young thug and good friend of Freddie Thompson. Started as an armed robber, but a professional hitman. Doyle ultimately moves off scene and goes to Spain, and he hangs out with the Kinahans, where Gary Hutches and all this big group are all hanging out together and prospering greatly.
There was some controversy between Freddie Thompson and the INLA. Can you tell me about that?
So Freddie then runs into trouble with the INLA in the form of Declan Duffy, Declan Whacker Duffy, a notorious psychopath and thug as well. And as a result of that, they start using bombs and grenades and automatic weapons again. Like, I think sometimes people, actually even myself, I had to pinch myself and say, well, hang on a minute, we think things are really bad now. Jesus, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it's a lot worse.
Yeah, and like the things you're describing there, the ruthlessness of what he was doing and the way he was able to kind of turn, switch loyalties just depending on what kind of suited himself is, it's astonishing, really.
Freddie went off to start to spend a lot more time in Spain from the mid to late latter half of the noughties. He became much more inculcated in the whole Kinahan organisation. Because remember, he's a first cousin of the Byrnes, and the Byrnes are serious players, and you've Hatch Cavaney, you've all these guys. So he's linked into all of them with true blood.
When he was on the run from his feud with Declan Duffy, he went to Spain. The Kinahans gave him sanctuary in southern Spain. And it was during this time where he cemented his position within the Kinahan cartel, because he was given the job of, he was involved in weapons training, bodyguard training, surveillance training as well. So, and his main role within that gang was to source weapons and to source drugs.
By 2010, when Operation Shovel was set up by an international policing operation, which didn't really go anywhere, but it was targeting the Kinahan cartel, and this was the first public acknowledgement that they're one of the biggest cartels in Europe, and Freddie Thompson was described as being the most trusted right-hand men of one Daniel Kinahan. So he was, that just illustrates where he was by that stage. But again, another example of the perfidy, the deceit, the betrayal, the kind of, you just could not believe the news on the radio in Freddie Thompson's car. Paddy Doyle, I mentioned to you, was his best mate. But Paddy Doyle was also, like most of these guys, they become very erratic, they become unpredictable, they become even more volatile, and they become a source of a problem to their organisation. So that's where the term, this is not personal, it's business. You know, it's business decision is made, we got to get rid of him. So the decision was made by Daniel Kinahan and his lieutenants that Paddy Doyle was a loose cannon, had to be got rid of. He's Freddie Thompson's best mate, and he's also Gary Hutch's best mate. So himself and Gary Hutch set up Paddy Doyle. They drive him around the place in 2008, and it's all arranged for somebody to come along and shoot him, and they shot him dead. So that was, again, another example of that was one of his best mates. Now, ultimately, as we know, the Kinahan feud, the Kinahan-Hutch feud exploded, and what we saw in the Regency ultimately came down to the decision by Daniel Kinahan to double-cross Gary Hutch and to renege on the deal he did with Jerry Hutch and have Gary Hutch murdered. Who was it to help set up? Gary Hutch, again, but it was Fat Freddie Thompson and James Quinn, another member of the gang who's now serving life for murdering Gary Hutch. So The story is peppered and punctuated with acts of the most extraordinary and egregious betrayal and treachery. That's Freddie Thompson.
And you have met him in the flesh before, is that right?
Numerous times. When we were up and down to the courts chasing after him. And
what was he like?
Like, he's a big mouth. He's a big man. He's a big mouth. And like, that's the thing about him, that he can't, he's so arrogant. I don't accept that he's incredibly intelligent. I accept that he is a feral, cute, cunning, conniving, somebody else would call it pond life. So he was like a manager and a driver and a minder and, of course, a murderer and an organiser of murders for the Kinnan organisation. So he was like, you just point him in the direction, kill, and that's no problem, like a dog being trained to do that.
And what was it that eventually got him in prison? Like, how did things finally catch up with him?
When the Kinnan Hutch feud kicked off then, of course, he was the most experienced soldier, so to speak. He coordinated a so-called war on the streets of Crumlin and Drimna for years. So he was the best qualified guy to come back and do the killing. And that's what he did. And he started coordinating. He literally came back from Spain the day after the Regency attack. And they were regrouping and planning for war. And he was the guy orchestrated, you know, the killers. He organised the weapons, the movement of money. Like, he used his network from Crumlin and Drimna. But that doesn't take a person with the brilliance or intelligence of a famous general. He's just a soldier on the street. But one, he probably his arrogance and his stupidity and the look of the bright side, the good side of life, was when he orchestrated the murder of Doughy Douglas.
David Douglas was shot 6 times in the head, neck and body as he took a meal break at the counter. The gunman smirked, walked and jogged to a waiting Mercedes, which was burned out nearby after he transferred to a waiting Suzuki.
Freddie Thompson coordinated his murder and he was standing on the street watching it and had been driving by. But thankfully, because of his arrogance and probably because he didn't plan it too well, he left a trace behind him. And so the Gardaí in Kevin Street, who had been on his case for decades at this stage, put together a case, a brilliant piece of work, and ultimately got the evidence, had him charged, and he was convicted and is serving life in prison. You clearly say when you see somebody like that being taken off the street, you can almost hear the community heaving a sigh of relief, you know, a collective sigh of relief, because this monster, this presence, malevolent presence amongst them, is gone. His very presence just put people down. You're terrified that your kids get sucked in by him and his associates. You're terrified that he might even just spot you and just decide he wants to smash you up. Like, that's the kind of creature you have. Like, the classic bully boy.
Like, you're describing a very oppressive force in that local area. But sometimes being put in prison isn't always a barrier to someone's criminal career continuing. Like, does he still have influence even though he's locked up? Like, is he still pulling any strings, or is that kind of waning with time?
Well, you have to look at his connections on the outside. He will always have connections and he will always have some form of influence, but not very much, because you have to remember his cousins, who are the real power brokers, they're out of the picture as well. They've all been smashed, you know, and there's more of them to come. Like, Liam Byrne is in hiding. They don't have the same power as they had before. The Kinnans, as we know, are now ensconced in Iran. They are international pariahs. So he doesn't have the connection to the big money and the big power anymore. It's been isolated. And, you know, he is in prison. He's got his mobile phone, him and his cousin, like your man Liam Brannigan there with him, and all these guys. Like, a lot of them are serving very long sentences. And when, by the time they do come out, or any of them do come out, it'll be a completely changed landscape again, because they won't have any power or influence. But I'd say and hope that Freddie won't be coming out for a good few decades yet, because, as I said to you, you know, a life sentence in this case, life should be life.
And my thanks to Paul Williams. I'm Ellen Coyne, and today's episode was produced by Garrett Mulhall, researched by Aoife Breslin, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. Archive clips from RTE, Virgin Media and independent.ie. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow and leave us a review.